Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84. That's 84. I'm 84. That means I'm of a great age. Just wanted to point that out. Okay, back verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn and the blessings that can come from that. We thank you for the comfort in when we trust your word and walk by faith, that you give us a peace in our heart and bless our lives and use us sometimes for your honor and your glory. I pray that all of us listening to this message will come to know you in a better way. If anyone is not saved, that they might be saved, and Christians might be revived. I ask you for your blessings upon all of us, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking about the people of God, that's what he's talking about there. And he talked about Simeon being a man full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost had given him a prophecy of sorts that he would live to see God's salvation, Christ. Now, Mary and Joseph, they've come down, you know, she was traveling pregnant. And they got down there and he's born in a manger. But do you understand that on the eighth day, Jewish boys were to be circumcised? And so they'd take them to the temple and do that. And so Jesus is 8 days old. And they bring him into the temple to do what the law told them to do to their baby boy. And Simeon comes in about the same time. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was a devout man. He was full of the Spirit of God. Man, I'm telling you, he might have just been a blessing to an awful lot of people. He come in, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he came by the Spirit into the temple, when the parents brought in the child Jesus, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to your word. I'm ready. I've seen your salvation. Praise God. How did he know that? Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. God speaks in the hearts of men many times by the Holy Spirit. And if you'd learn to listen, he'd speak to you too. Amen. All you got to do is seek the Lord, and the Lord will come back to you. Now, you may not have a big light in the heavens. You may not have a tremor in your heart. You may not have a lot of things, but you may be knowing what the will of God is for your life by the Spirit of God that's within you. He's working for you all the time. Every time you pray, and you pray wrong. As Billy was said, I taught him wrong on the coming of the Lord. And I understood that. I had one mother, she had a bunch of children later on. She said, I didn't think I was ever going to live old enough. The Lord was going to come back too soon for me to have children. So I was a real discouragement to her. Bless her heart. But she had all her children and she still got them. You know what? I'm still looking for the Lord to come. And I am a premillennialist and a pre-tribulation rapture. It didn't change that. As far as I'm concerned, it's just as clear as the wind. I don't know how much trouble we're going to go through before we get there. But it just might be God can deal with your heart as he did with Simeon. And here he is blessed Simeon in fulfilling his prophecy that he had, saying that he was going to see the Christ. And then for him to have the naughty, I don't know how many babies are coming through the temple at that time. And he looks at Jesus and God points him out to him. That's marvelous. And that's a great blessing. You know, you live for a lot of things. You live for maybe your wife or your husband. You live for your children. You live for the Lord. And there's just some great blessings that come to a believer. And so he said that, I might as well let go on. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Look at verse 31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. It's not just for the Jews and it's not just for the Gentiles. It's for everybody. Christ died for the whole world. You can go to any place and promise by the gospel, if you'll repent of your sins and take Christ as your Savior, he'll forgive your sins and save your soul. He doesn't care what religion you are, or he doesn't care what nation or race you might be. He loves you all. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I am so thankful I am saved. I am so thankful I have a Bible that I can believe, and I do have a Bible that I can believe. And you know, Billy brought it out very well. Don't you try to interpret everything. Just what does it say? That's what you want to know. Not what somebody thinks it says or what somebody thinks it means. What does the Scripture say? And right here, it says in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Simeon sees in this vision the salvation of God as reaching out to the Gentiles, right here at the birth of Jesus Christ. And then it said, the glory of thy people Israel. Israel is glorious for two special reasons. One of them is they wrote down the Word of God. They preserved the Word of God. And they brought it on down to us. So it's a light to lighten the Gentiles. Wow. They're going to take these Jewish scriptures, and that's what they are. Almost all of it is from Jewish background and mind that the Lord used. Some otherwise, but not much. This book. What's another thing? They got a son of David. They got a son of David. And he's right here. I'm so thankful that I got a Jewish Lord. I'm so thankful I've got somebody who was predicted and prepared and fulfilled and finished a great salvation. Amen. If I had to keep the law, I'd never make it. Amen. And if you would read the law, you would understand you would never make it. And if you really understand what the law is trying to tell you, it's telling you, love God. Amen. And it's telling you, love people.
Amen. That's true.
Those are the two hardest things to do. But it answers everything. You don't have to know all the Ten Commandments, although it's good to read them. Every once in a while I read them and I think, I'm sure glad I don't have to keep them to get into heaven. Did you ever have that thought? Well, if you read them a little while and you think about them reasonably, you would think, wow. So it's a light for the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile, and I got a light. I got a light that says I've got a salvation. I've got forgiveness of my sins. I've got a Lord that will lead me through, and I'm going to be with in eternity. Amen. Praise God. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The biggest thing that the Jews ever did was bring about this son of David that brought about salvation to all the world. That's some glory. Amen. That's some glory. It says in verse 33, Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. Now, understand me. Both of them have been dealing with angels. They know that this child was not Joseph's. It was God's. Mary certainly knows it. And Joseph believed her. Instead of putting her away as for an adulteress or whatever, no, he didn't do that. God woke him up in the middle of the night and convinced him. And you know, what a wonderful thing here, and to think Jesus is a direct descendant of David. He said that David would have one to sit on his throne forever. He'd always have one. Well, that's how you have him. Right there you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And so anyway, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You're carrying this little baby into the temple. Nobody knows you. You're from out of town. You had to make a long trip to come there. It happened like that all the time. People wanted to go to Jerusalem. They wanted to go to the temple. And so here they are. They're just poor people. They're not staying in the finest hotels. They didn't come in with an entourage around them. They barely made it. Just born in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn. They marveled at those things which were spoken of him. All of a sudden, it's beginning to hit them. What Simeon has said, what Anna has said, they're thinking, wow. And it turned over in their mind. Have you ever had something just really lift you up? Just really bless you? Well, that's what they got right here. They marveled at the things that were spoken of him. And he told her, all right, he's going to be for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, and a sword shall pierce through thine own heart also. She was at his birth and she was at his crucifixion. You don't think that hurts? Not just spiritually, just physically, just family-wise. By the grace of God, I have not lost a child. That's the grace of God. You know something? I have been blessed in family. Really did. I got a good wife. I picked her out at 16, finally got her at 17. I mean 18, I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah, I don't have enough mind left, you know. The skin is going and the brain's going along with it. But he begins to tell her some of these things that he's going to be for the fall and the rising of many people, and then this sword's going to pierce your heart also. Wow. What you got to look forward to? Well, you're going to be there at his crucifixion. What happened? She was a widow. She was a prophetess. And she was of a great age, 84, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And you know what it said? And I was thinking about this. What does God want out of his people? He tells us over and over again. We want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, a little crucifix made out of silver or gold hanging around your neck is idolatry, not God's worship. You understand me? Little statues that people have and have been blessed by some religious person. That's not worshiping God. Do you think a God that built all that we have? I'm fascinated by the universe. How great it is, how big it is. Back in this time, probably the standard belief was that the sun went around the earth. They didn't have any telescopes or microscopes at this time. And some philosophers knew and proposed that the earth was going around the sun. But not many people thought that way. And they didn't think about all of what God has done. Think of these different animals. See, think of the... What a dog. I've always had dogs. Always loved dogs. Boy, they're pretty smart, aren't they? And they got certain ways that they can do things. They've got dogs that can smell out diabetes. They've got dogs that can tell a mother when her child's got too much blood sugar. And they do this with other kinds of diseases. And they can catch all of these. Wow, tremendous dog. I heard someone tell me that the human eye is even more complicated than any other eyes. Special. Have you seen this thing on DNA? I remember it came out in the National Geographic, and Verlene said, read it, and she said, Lyndall, you really want to read this. I said, okay. I was blown away. I was literally blown away that you could take a little piece of this finger and replace my whole body. Wow. Do you know what? You would have to believe that the dictionary came from an explosion in a print factory to believe that there is no God. Ridiculous. There is a super mind out there that has a super power out there. His name's God. He made you. He made the parts that became you. He has a purpose for you. And when you went astray in your sin, Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And he paid the debt for your sin. I remember when that struck me. I thought I was a pretty good man. Really did. Smoked and drank and cussed, but I was a pretty good man. Wow. Once I realized when I read those Ten Commandments, Moses' commandments, just those ten, I realized I'd probably broken them all. And then to come around with the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament too, but emphasized by the Lord Jesus Christ, what's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. I don't think you've ever done that a day in your life. It makes me a big, great big sinner, and I need to call for forgiveness of sin. And the one next to it, only two. Love your neighbors yourself. Well, who is my neighbor? Well, look at the old guy thrown on the side of the road, been beat up and whatever. He's your neighbor. Anybody that needs you is your neighbor. Do you fulfill that? No, 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 no. When you brought you a new pickup, you didn't buy me one. I'm really ashamed of you. You need to repent of that. You take a look at something like that and you realize you don't stand a chance by yourself. You don't stand a chance with any other human beings on the face of the earth. There's only one way, and it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the only perfect one.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, what a great salvation. And you think somebody that smart to figure all this out would be impressed because you've got a gold statue? Huh? God uses gold for paving. Have you thought about that? God uses gold for paving. He's not interested in your silver and your gold and your money and all your trash and your opinion, by the way. But you know something? You came into this world a very self-centered person. And most of you haven't changed much. Excuse me, but it's so. You know, verse 37 says in the last part of it, served God with fastings and prayers night and day. How do you worship God? How can you work for God? Well, it's not in building little golden statues or necklaces. I'm amazed that anybody in any place with any intelligence would think that was a God or that pleased a God. Really, now that's hard for me to fathom. And yet we're doing it all the time. There's churches that have statues inside the churches. And they have crosses hanging up on the wall. And they have very beautiful windows. And they're trying to build something that impresses God. I know pastors that I've seen, they want to build a huge building, a beautiful building, a rich building to impress God. God's not impressed. God's impressed with your heart. God's impressed with your soul. God's impressed with your love. And boy, we don't have much love. We love ourselves. We haven't gotten very far from when we first got born. Now, that's a wonderful way for a baby to be, because he can't talk, or she can't talk. You know what she can do? She can get your attention. Wow! At 2 o'clock in the morning. You wouldn't believe a thing so small could have a voice so loud. Isn't that right? But the problem is, you're supposed to outgrow that. We got a bunch of complainers going around, wow, and you think everybody ought to pay attention to them. You're supposed to love God supremely, and you're supposed to love your neighbor as much as yourself, and you don't do either one. And that's what you ought to be repenting of day after day after day after day. Yes, Lord, I recognize I'm a sorry servant. I recognize that my interest is mine. You know what? I thank the Lord that I had central heat and central air and a refrigerator and a warm bed and a washing machine. But how many people didn't have it this time? How many people broke the pipes in their houses? Now, I can say I sympathized with them, but I didn't go get any of them and have them move in with me. Did you? I don't think we did we? They can just tough it out. They should have been prepared. People got pipes broken in houses that didn't have a good insulation because some builder didn't build them right because he wanted the money fast and he wanted to be lazy and not do it right. And now somebody's suffering. Maybe somebody, sick people die. Someone said that the damage done to just Texas would be what that big hurricane that came through. Harvey. And this freezing would be close to it. And yet, do you know what I thought about mostly? Me. You did too. I thought about me. I'm warm. I'm safe. I don't have my television. Oh, what a tragedy. I don't have lights to read, got to read by the flashlight. That's no fun. I really suffered. Didn't you? How do you serve God? Well, some people think they serve God when they bow down with the front of a statue. Some people think they serve God when they kiss the big toe of St. Peter over in Rome. Do you know that granite statue, that toe is worn down from kissing? Isn't that that's beyond my thinking. I don't understand that. Surely we have a better sense than that to know that these things don't count with God. He's looking for a spiritual worship, spirit and truth. He doesn't want any fake. He doesn't want any put on. He sees your heart. He sees your mind. He sees your priorities. He sees your prayers. And most of us are still very self-centered. And the two commandments are wrapped up. They're the great commandments. Love the Lord your God with everything, with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what that ought to do for us as born-again believers and being filled with the Spirit of God, having our sins forgiven? It ought to make us repent every day. It ought to make us open our prayers with, Lord, I've failed you. I've heard people pray, Lord, you know I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and now then I need this. I'd say that'd be awful careful praying that way. When I had to pray over Billy's eyes, his head's all covered up in his bed and I'm down on my knees beside his bed, I said, Lord, I don't deserve to have a boy that can see any more than any other person. And when Eddie was in spinal meningitis, the best doctors they had told me there was nothing they could do beyond them. We went to the library and we spent several hours. Both of us are readers. And we come away very discouraged. Nothing was going to help. But you know, we prayed. And God heard our prayer. Look at that big bouncer back at that gate. Good night. Did you hear all he was talking about? You don't really know how much you got this Sunday school. That's a lot of memory. That's a lot of reading of a lot of books. That's a lot of reasoning. He's got eyesight. There aren't any little white clouds over his eyes anymore. And when that Jewish doctor of 34 years experience, I asked him, I said, how long will it take for those to go away? He said, I've never seen it. I said, how often do you see people like this? He said, every week. Every week I deal with somebody like that. You know who I'm dealing with? God. And that's a time to be humble, let me tell you. Not a time to say, I've preached the gospel and somebody, I've passed out so many tracts, I've given so much money. No! He wants your love. If you understand what love is, you might ought to figure out how I could love God. Amen. We need to love God. Serving God with fastings and prayers night and day, and she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Now, look at John chapter 4, verse 23. I think it's pretty interesting to me. 4:23, John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, he made a statement there that just about denies all religion, period. It denies all the statues and all the paintings and all of the gold and all of the trappings. God is a spirit. Do you understand what God being a spirit is? It means that you have a spirit, and that's the way you communicate with God. That spirit is not interested in gold and silver. It's not interested in big buildings. It's interested in your heart. And our heart is our problem. It's been our problem all along. You've let your heart lead you instead of the Lord leading you. And you've got yourself in trouble over your life. And if you're old enough, you know it. And if you have any common sense, you know it. How do you worship a God? How do you serve a God that is a spirit? Well, Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Wow, that's spiritual. There's no money going out there. There's no effort there. There's no building there. There's no glorification for yourself that's there. It's a spiritual thing. God is a spirit, and he works in your spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. You talk to yourself? You ought to. Every Christian ought to be talking to themselves. That's why you need to learn the Word of God, so you can talk the Word of God to yourself. Amen. Speaking to yourselves, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what? You'd have a lot happier life if you'd make a little melody to the Lord instead of fussing and complaining. Everybody fusses and complains. How are you any different? Well, you ought to be. You ought to be praising God throughout the day. You ought to be thanking God that you're saved, especially Christians that are saved. You ought to be thanking God that your family's whole, if your family's whole. And I still thank God for that every day. Thank God for the Christian friends you have. Be a blessing to somebody. You know, this world could use a little kindness. We don't have much kindness, not behind the wheel. Are you very kind to the other people? Do you actually let people in? I was trying to change lanes so that I could get off down a few blocks ahead. And this young lady, I don't know how old she was. She could be from 16 to 30. I couldn't tell you. But she sees me trying to get her, and she pushes herself up, and she's glaring at me. You old man, what are you trying to do to get in front of me, you know? She's glaring at me, and I thought, why? I'm not going to run you off the road. I don't want your position. I need that lane. Well, now, how do you treat people? How do you react? You quick on the fuse? You can't talk to me that way. How many of you have told people that? Yeah, you have. How many people have told your husband or your wife, you can't talk to me that way? I'm better than that. Are you really? I don't know. Speaking to yourselves. How about some psalms? Do you have any of them memorized, or any verses memorized that are a blessing to your heart that you can quote to your own mind? Say, praise God. I'll tell you one I've got. I used to be a fighter. I really was. I could fight at the drop of a hat. I lost some bad ones. I won some too. You know something? There's a verse that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I went out even after I was a preacher of the gospel, and I went to a preacher and I wanted to beat him to death. He hurt an old man. And he stole. And I was mad. As I was riding in the car, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. What if I hit him too hard and I took out more than what he took from me? Now I put God against me. God's got to make it all even. Do you want God trying to make things even for you, for your badness, for your madness, for your selfishness, or even for your rightness, your justice? No, I don't want God against me. If there's anything I've learned, I don't want God against me. I think you ought to do the same thing. Speaking to yourselves, that's spiritual worship. You ought to learn some scriptures, scriptures that bless you. Memorize them. My two boys could quote 100 verses of scriptures before they could read. We were afraid of communism in those days. And we didn't know about what we could do. The best thing we thought we could do to protect them was to give them the Word of God, precious verses that would give salvation to their mind and the proof of God. And I used to just, somebody come over, I say, quit these verses here, you know. These little kids sit up there, bang, 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 preaching the Word. Hey, but they're still preaching. They're still preaching. So I think that was the winner. It says, giving thanks for all things. And as some of you have not been giving thanks for the COVID-19, and some of you have not been giving thanks for all the freezing we've had. You have a very bad spirit. You know what? Maybe you need to get spiritually right and thank God for what He brought your way. Oh, that's preaching. Yeah, that makes enemies, doesn't it? Speaking to yourselves, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is spiritual worship. Letting the Word of Christ bless you richly. It's what it said there. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. The reason why we have the open meetings is you get a chance to admonish somebody else with the blessing that you had. What to pray for? Well, going over to Ephesians 3:19, Paul told you what to pray for him. As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, and I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's one of my prayers, almost always, before I get up. Lord, help me not to fall flat on my face. Lord, help me not to lose my mind. Lord, help me to preach clearly. Lord, help me to preach boldly. Help me! Pray for me! Pray for the preachers. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the town that you live in. Pray for the nation that you are a part of. Prayer is spiritual warfare. Prayer is spiritual blessing. And you want to know how to worship God in spirit and in truth? Well, the Bible is the truth. And your own spirit, taking that truth and blessing your mind, you'd have a whole lot more comfortable life. Absolutely. Some people think that a Christian couldn't be an optimist. Well, I'm an optimist and I'm a Christian. And I'm very optimistic about this Bible. I believe, as my son was talking this morning, it's going to happen just the way it says it. Doesn't mean I understand it like I ought to. But I tell you what, he's given you the truth. He's told you how to get saved. He said, if you will repent of your sins and get out and pray, I will hear from heaven. What kind of a promise is that? That's great. I can't get in to see the mayor of San Antonio. I probably couldn't get in to see the chief of police. But I can get in to see the God that spoke this universe into existence. That's right. and the God that has given me 84 years of life, and the God that blessed me in so many ways, and the God that is still blessing me in spiritual worship. Speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, praying for the servants of the Lord, praying for the lost of the world, praying for the safety of your soldiers. Well, pray that you can open your mouth boldly. Acts 4:31 is an interesting verse. Talking about the apostles when they had been beaten. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. How about praying for God to shake this building? How about praying for God to shake all our hearts? How about praying for God to move in on us and devour us, come all completely all over us, bring us to himself? Pray for your missionaries. Pray for the church. Pray for your family. Pray for your city and the world. We need to shake up. We have a life-changing message. We have a message that can forgive the sin of the world. You just need to believe it and pass it on. And when you fail, get back up, ask for forgiveness, and believe it again. You may be here. Isaiah 55:6. And maybe you don't know the Lord. You may be here and you're a backslidden Christian. You know you're not living for God. You're not putting God first anywhere in your life. You're here and you don't know how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Oh yeah, you could pray before a picture of Jesus. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. He had black hair. He had dark eyes. He had a dark skin. He wasn't an Anglo-Saxon, understand me. He was a Jew. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them. I am a recipient of the mercy of God. God was merciful to me. He forgave my sin. He changed my life. Praise God. Praise God. I ought to worship him. I ought to talk to him. He tells me to. You say, well, I don't see him. He can't hear me. He can hear you. He knows what you're going to pray for before you pray it. He knows what you need. You could seek him and submit yourself to him and pray that you would be shaken up, and that the church would be shaken up, and that your country would be shaken up, and that all sin would be abominable. Sin would be embarrassing instead of the status quo. May God help us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Lord, you have been so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. I know that you are so intelligent and beyond us in every way, in power. And you've experienced our sin, and you have shown us your love. Forgive us today where we failed you. Help us to, in our spirit, praise your blessed name. Let souls be saved and lives be changed. And revival come. Shake us up, Lord. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.